We're looking at the epistle prayers, the prayers that are in the New Testament that are written to the church that are inspired by the Holy Spirit for our benefit. So we discover the will of God, we discover His intentions for us, and we can pray those prayers on purpose. And so last week we looked at Ephesians 1 and we said, let's pray these prayers for ourselves. Let's pray them for others. Yesterday, we were getting up a little bit earlier with jet lag, and we were up like at 4 o'clock, 4:30 yesterday. And so Pastor Haley and I were praying for you, 4:30, 5, and all of a sudden we just started really praying really, really hard about 5:04, 5:05. And it's like, we just started praying really hard, and it was like something happened, something broke through. If you're not laughing, you were asleep yesterday at 5:05. No. That was Chirundu. Okay, that wasn't our prayers. All right. In fact, we were just talking at 5:05 when the little earthquake happened. All right. But turn with me today to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at another one of these prayers that God has for us. And one of the reasons why we're doing it here in the beginning of the year is I know, and I hope you do, hope you believe that 2016 can be better than 2015, right? And I hope that you believe that there are things that God has for you and for you to do and to be a blessing and to make a difference. And maybe there's some goals that didn't happen in 2015, and you say, you know what, I'd love to see them happen this year. And it's good to have those, but the biggest problem about you and I crossing over into the new year is we crossed over with us. The same you. The same me. And somebody might say, well, you're different. Well, but no, you're the same. Okay? And just one day doesn't make a difference. And so these prayers help us become a different person. They invite God's participation in our life. And these prayers are, we see the will of God, but because there are prayers, we're asking. And something we must really understand from Genesis to Revelation is that the will of God for our life does not happen by default. It doesn't happen just because He wants it to happen. All right? Does He want some things to happen? Big time. All right. But we cooperate with His plan. We ask for His plan. We yield to His plan. And as we do, then His plans come forth in our life. Amen. So there's a God side and there's our side. And I'm so glad His side is bigger than our side. But our side is important and it's vital. And one of those is that we pray and we ask God, and God, we need wisdom and we need your help and we need more insight. And so last week in Ephesians chapter 1, we saw that prayer is about seeing and it is about knowing, all right? It's about having the eyes of our understanding flooded with light so that we can know. We can know some things, all right? And in your bulletins, we put a prayer card. And so it's got Ephesians chapter 1. It's got Ephesians chapter 3. And we kind of borrowed from a number of different translations and put it in not praying for others, but praying for yourself. And so that prayer is, Father, I ask these things for my life. And so encourage you, put that on your bedside table, put it on your desk, put it wherever you've got something where you'll see it and throughout the week and set aside time and just go through that and let the Holy Spirit, hit the pause and he may have you pray along certain lines, but it's a great, great outline. It's a great place to start to pray for these things in our life. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I desire some things. All right, and again, so does God. So these prayers are prayed for believers. So they're not prayed for people outside of the kingdom of God or outside of the family of God, but they're prayed for born-again people. They're supernaturally inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they're for us today. Paul prayed them for the saints at Ephesus. We're praying them for the saints at Roma, the saints in Lusaka. All right. And again, we always can be assured that we're receiving these benefits of these prayers when we make sure that we're praying them for ourselves. And praying for yourself is not a selfish thing if, like these prayers, if it's a prayer to grow and to get better and to have more of God in your life. And it'll be a great blessing to others. So, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. All right. And so here's where Paul begins this second prayer for the church at Ephesus in verse 14. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So this prayer, so we see kind of an intro. I'm talking to the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's speaking to him, and then he begins to ask for certain things. And so in this prayer, all right, that we see in verse 16, 17, 18, 19, three main things. One is that God wants you to be strong on the inside. God wants there to be inward stability in your life. All right. Secondly, he wants you to know the expanse of his love. Now, it's huge, the Bible says. It's beyond your knowledge. But the fact is, he wants you to know it. He wants you to be aware of it. And then thirdly, he wants you to know and be aware of his love. But he also wants you to experience his love for yourself. And so it is a scriptural thing to say, God, I want to know your love, yes, in my mind, but I also want it dripping off of me. I want to have regular experiences with you that I know who you are and that I know that you love me. So let's go back up to verse 16, all right? Verse 16. So the first part of this prayer is, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. All right. So you and I need strength on the inside. All right. How many of you already realize that 2016, there are going to probably be some huge challenges that you're going to face? All right. And sometimes the temptation is, God, make the challenges go down. You know, make Goliath smaller, please, God. You know, when the children of Israel went and they spied out the promised land and they saw all the wonders and all of the promises that God's, and it's so wonderful. But the people who inhabited those lands were great and they were big. And so sometimes we want God to give us an easier road in life. We want a less challenging assignment. No, that's not God's answer. God's answer is to make you stronger than the challenges that you face. You may have heard this statement. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. God wants to put more fight in you. And he can and he will. Determination, inward stability. And you know, I think a lot of times in the world that we live in, people kind of sometimes compensate for a lack of inward stability. And so we try to do it on the outside and we try to look cool and be cool. And if you can't, you know, if you aren't, just fake it till you make it and you never make it. But God wants there to be something of huge stability and strength on the inside so that when you face trials and you face challenges, and sometimes they're not even attacks from the enemy. They are part of the will of God. How many of you know one time Jesus got all of his disciples said, let's get in this boat. Let's go to the other side. And while they're right in the middle of the will of God, what happens? Huge storm comes. Jesus is asleep. They wake Jesus up. Don't you know? Don't you care for us? Sounds like they needed this Ephesians 3 prayer. We don't understand how much you care. And Jesus rebuked the waves and said, where's your faith? And really what Jesus was saying, you should have rebuked the waves. I could still be sleeping. All right. And so God is going to position us. And I believe there's a lot of people at Miracle Life. God is positioning you, placing you in difficult situations, difficult assignments. I've told you the story one time. Oh, I don't know, 10 years ago, somebody was looking for a job at Miracle Life. And back then, thank God I don't do the interviews anymore, but back then I did. And so I said, well, why do you want to work at Miracle Life? She said, oh, my job I have now is so stressful. I want to come and work for a place where there's just love and peace. And I just looked at her. I said, man, this is not the place you're looking for. These are not the droids you're looking for. This is not the job you're looking for. Okay. Because, God, and our whole world, if you read the news, I mean, the whole world is in chaos. What's the answer? You. He puts you right in the middle of a mess and he says, all right, let's get to work. Let's bring order. Let's bring God's perspective here. So, but what it means is you're going to need strength on the inside. God, when Joshua was going to face the assignment, so Moses had a lot of problems going through the wilderness and the complaining people and everything, but all those died. They didn't get to go over the Jordan. But now Joshua and that generation, they were going to take the cities and they were going to occupy the land. So what was the word of the Lord to Joshua? Be strong and of good courage. Now, when you see what Joshua faced, you realize why he needed to be strong. Because the situations he were facing were big. Huge challenges. Well, guess what? He can make us strong on the inside. All right. Soft and weak people do not make it far in God's plan and purpose. Soft and weak people. If you give up at the first sign of resistance or the first complaint or the first, challenge, and you just give up and you look for an easier road, you'll never fulfill the will of God for your life. You'll never fulfill the will of God. Amen. All right. So how do we get strong? How do we have this inner fortitude? Is it willpower? Is it waking up in the morning and saying, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. You know, looking in the mirror and say, you know, I see a lion. I might be a kitty cat, but I see a lion. I'm awesome. Well, here's the thing. No, you as a person, you really don't have what it takes. Paul said, you know, I realize, man, and there are times where I'm weak. But what happens? The power of God is made perfect where? In our weakness. In our weakness. All right. But notice there is a power that's bigger than your human frailty, than who you are as an individual. So it's not a matter of you rising up and being tougher. It's a matter of tapping into something bigger than you. Now, the Bible says, how does this happen? By His Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit has already been given. He is already available to you, but He is waiting to fill you, waiting to empower you. And in every one of these situations, you say, Holy Spirit, we can do this. Greater is He that is in me than who? He that's in the world. What? So there is a he, a little he. There is opposition. There is a one who's going about seeking whom he may devour. But we have something bigger, greater. Now, where do we get this? Where do we get this power? The Bible says we get it from His glorious, unlimited resource. Glorious, unlimited resource. New King James Version says, from the riches of His glory. That's where this power comes from. It is from unlimited abundance that God gives us this. This is the supply that God uses to strengthen us. All right. Now God is talking, because He could have just said, hey, I'm going to give you power. But he says he told us the source of this power from his unlimited glory, from his endless resources. So God wants us to be reminded and be aware that when he gives us power, oh, he's got so much of it. There's no limit to it. All right. I don't know if you've ever seen a superhero movie where these people have, you know, kind of power and they're awesome and everything. And, you know, their best friend is about to die and they're able to kind of transfer their power to their best friend. You ever see that in the movies, you know, and they're like, here you go. And then as they're transferring their power to their buddy and their buddy is begins to breathe and gets healthy and everything. But they, the superhero, their veins start popping out and it's because I love you, you know, but see, that is not how God, when he gives us his power, there's so much left over. You don't have to worry about it. I don't know about it at your house, but you know, maybe the way your house is wired, you know, that, you know, when you turn on the microwave, you know, you turn it on and all of a sudden the lights go, you're tapping it too much, right? We've had different generator systems here and everything like that. And, you know, there were times where, you know, we put on the generator and all of a sudden, dum-dum, and it's like, who's using the hair dryer, you know, the hand dryer? Who's using the hot plate and everything? Turn it off, because you're overloading the generator, all right? God says, hey, when you need power, and you're going to need a lot of it because I'm going to give you some tough assignments, when you get it, heaven just goes, oh, unlimited resources. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And God wants you to be aware of that. His needle is still on full after you get everything that you need. Amen. All right. So we ask him to strengthen us in the inner man, the inner being on the inside, something bigger than what we're facing. All right. Verse 17 says, then, you could say, as a result of that happening, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So there is this strengthening that happens. All right. And it says that he'll make his home within you. Now, it's not as if Jesus just checks out every day. You follow me? But it's the same idea that when Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, it's this permanent home, having Christ settled in your heart. A relationship with Jesus Christ that is more than just for emergencies. Oh, God, our marriage is in trouble. Jesus, can you come and help me? No, it's abiding in him. It's knowing him. He's settled in your heart. Amen. That's the kind of relationship that will give you the stability that you need for your life. All right. Not up and down and all over the place. All right. And thank God that he said when he gives us the Holy Spirit, he will abide with us forever. Amen. So it's an awareness of that, a closeness, a relationship that is settled. Now, he says when this happens, then your roots... All right. Again, he's talking about the inside, right? Because if you think about a tree, roots are not what you see from the outside. It's what's under the surface, isn't it? All right. And when we're talking about inner stability, this is not how someone dresses or takes care of their hair or the car that they drive. It's not what you see from the outside. It's what's on the inside. All right. It's what's under the surface. Okay. So what's under the surface for us? God's will is that our roots, the root system, the beliefs of our life are rooted into God's love. Now, his love is his nature. God is love. He's wall-to-wall love. That's what he is made of. All right. Now, I have seen a place of instability. And I've seen it in my life, but honestly, it was kind of a while ago. But I've seen it in a lot of Christians' life, and sometimes I bump into it at Miracle Life. Is that, okay, do we face trials in this life? We sure do, all right? And we've said at different times, you know, there are different reasons for storms, all right? Some storms are because we messed up. Some storms are because somebody else messed up. Some storms are because nobody messed up. It's a satanic attack, all right? And some storms are just because it's this time of the year for storms, okay? But regardless of why it happens, what I find is once the waves start going, all right, and maybe somebody falls out of the boat, and maybe there's some level of pain, many, many times the first reaction of Christians are, God, you don't love me. I'm disappointed with you, God. Whoa, 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 whoa. See, that's not the root, that's not having the roots of your belief system rooted into his love. Are there stuff that we're going to face in life? Yes. There might even be some things that we, you know, this time that we have physically that we don't even understand everything of why it happened or when it happened or all these kinds of things. But people blame God. They say God allowed it. God permitted it. God has a reason. There's a reason for everything. There is a reason for everything. But many times God's not involved in the reason. Right? Okay. Well, there was a reason, you know, that the bank came and took your home. Well, there's a reason for everything. Yes, it's because you didn't pay your loan. That's the reason. I bind you, devil. No, just pay your loan. You won't have to bind the devil. Right? There are certain things in life where God is just completely excluded from. Right? So we don't have to blame him. But when tough times come and stuff happens, people who have their roots deep down into God's love do not believe that this is a lack of God's love, nor has God changed his mind about me. I'm not wondering about his opinion. I'm not wondering about his character. God is good. What do we say in church? God is good. See, that's having the roots of your belief system into his love. God is good all the time. Is life always good? No. God is always good. And regardless of what I'm facing, regardless of what other people are facing, well, you know, this is happening over here in the world and this is happening. How can you say God is love? Well, he is love. He's absolute love. There are other reasons other than that God isn't love that this stuff is happening. Amen? There is a stability, friends, that comes that regardless of the tough stuff of life, regardless of your mistakes, regardless of the mistakes of others or whatever is happening, it is not a result of God withholding his love from me. It is not. I guess God didn't love me. I guess I wasn't good enough. Mm-mm. Search elsewhere. Don't ever question his love. Amen. Don't question. The roots of my life, my belief system, when I am rooted in his love, you become an unshakable Christian. Unshakable. God is love. God is good. Now, there's a lot of stuff that I see around here that's tough, but I always know that my Father loves me. Amen? Now, so there's this inner stability that we're to pray for and receive and walk in. All right. Verse 18, there's also, like in Ephesians 1, there's something that God wants us to know, to be aware of. All right. So he says he asked that we would have the power to understand. Power, another translation says to grasp. All right. To kind of get a hold of. And so there's a strength that we need, a power to understand, as all God's people should. All right. So this isn't just for you. It's not special. It's for everybody. And what is it that we're supposed to know? How wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of God is towards us. All right. So we are to pray to know how big God's love is. I don't know if you remember in geography class growing up or whatever, you know, you hear how big the sun is and how small the earth is and how big the moon is. And it's kind of like, you know, after a while, it's kind of like, well, so what, right? That's nice to know. And I forget now. I don't know how far we are and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is, God wants you to have a living, actual awareness of the size and the scope of his love. Now, here's what we all must accept right now, all right, is that there is so much today that you and I are unaware of. Do you realize that? Do you realize that how much, and this is speaking about God's love, but just of the world in general that we are unaware of? Now, I haven't traveled the world a lot, all right? But the places where I go, and especially kind of in the last 10 years or so, when I go to a place, and we had a Rhema director's meeting in Italy, I'd never been to Italy, and I, go to Venice and Florence and eat gelato and drink their coffee and everything. You know what happens? I get mad. It's like, wait a second, I'm 46 years old and I've never eaten real Italian gelato. And I know we have Zambian Italian gelato. I'm talking about chocolate ice cream that is black as your shoe. Oh, Jesus. But you know what? It existed for years before I discovered it. It was there all the time. All these beautiful things, all these sights to see. All right. I always tell you, at Miracle Life, and we're all not going to visit Dubai or Moscow or whatever. But if you live in Lusaki, you have to at least see Victoria Falls. Not tomorrow. Wait after the rainy season. All right. You got to see Victoria Falls and you got to get to Cape Town. All right. You can't go to heaven before you see Cape Town. It's not right. Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and there might not be Cape Town in the new heaven and the new earth. All right, so you got to get there. I'm telling you. I've had three couples take their honeymoons because Pastor Walker said, we got to see Cape Town. All right, so awesome. All right. But the fact is, God is saying there's so much more of my love that you don't even have a clue about. It exists. But sometimes you and I kind of think that the world is as we see it. I remember one time, years and years ago, we were in a rural KwaZulu-Natal. And we were with some Christians and churches there and everything. And there were some places that were just really, really far from anywhere. And obviously, many have been to some of those places in Zambia as well. But this pastor was telling me, he said, There's a guy, and I was really went, over the hill and over the mountain and everything, talking to this guy, and we were just talking about God and the things of God, and I was just kind of telling him about his own country, about South Africa. And this guy had a small little maize field by his house, and just enough for his family. And he said, there are maize fields just 100 or so kilometers from here, that if you're in that maize field, when you look, you can't even see the end of it. And this old farmer, he thought about that. And he said, no, that's impossible. I've never seen that. So because I've never seen it equals impossible. No, that's impossible. Do you know that's one of the reasons why some people, and I still don't understand, some people say, oh, that Miracle Life, it's a satanic church. No one could build a building like that. No one could have all those cars. That's not normal. Well, sure, it's normal. We trust God. We believe God. We live sacrificially. We put the purposes of God above our own selfishness. And God works through our lives. That's normal. No. That's Satanism. That's the devil. Well, the funny thing is I don't know, when I read my Bible, I don't see that Satan came to give us life and life more abundantly. I don't see that as part of his job description. So there is more of God's love than you are aware right now that will blow your mind. So what does God say? Well, that's a problem. Okay. I don't know it. Well, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to ask. You're supposed to say, God, you know what? And I think a great way sometimes to pray is, God, I am so thankful for what I know. Oh, God, I'm so thankful to be. Yesterday I was at a grocery store, and they're playing Shout to the Lord on a Saturday morning. That doesn't happen most places in the world. God, I'm so thankful for all that I know about you. But you know what? I'm asking you, God, I want more. And see, what knowledge does, one of the great benefits of knowledge is that it keeps you safe from falseness. It keeps you safe from cheap imitations. Okay. Now me, I don't know the difference between a Gucci bag and a Gookie bag. Okay. But, you know, years and years ago when we lived in South Africa, I always had a Nokia phone. And I liked them. You could drop them. They worked well and everything. But then there was a, you know, instead of Nokia, it was, you know, Nokia with an E, you know, Nokia phone or whatever. And when you held it, you were like, get that out of my face. Why? Because I know the real. And once I know the real and I'm aware of the real, I will not be tempted for that which is a substitute, that which is inferior. All right. This week, my wife and I were on the way home and we said, oh, there's a new restaurant. So we pulled in and so my wife gets the peri-peri chicken. And the peri-peri chicken comes and she says, oh, you want to have some? I'm sure. So I'm eating some of it and everything. And I said, what do you think? What do you think? This isn't so great. Why? Well, because I've probably had literally 500 to 1,000 Nando's peri-peri chickens in my lifetime. I've had it. It's marinated. It's soft. It's grilled. Ah, there's that little crisp on the skin, you know. This is not peri-peri chicken. Now, if somebody just, you know, some goofball from America comes off the plane and I'll have some peri-peri chicken, please. And this is very delicious. Has a nice flavor to it. Kind of tangy. No, you don't know peri-peri chicken. This is not peri-peri chicken. This is weak, inferior peri-peri chicken. In fact, take it off. Call it something else. Call it spicy chicken. It's an insult to peri-peri chicken. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because I've had the real. I know what good is. And so God wants you to know His love. God, I want to be aware of Your love. I want to know the height and the breadth and the depth. All right? And so when you are praying this prayer and you are aware of His love and you've gotten into the next verse of experiencing His love. All right? And you're single and you're 28 and some guy comes and says, hey, baby, I love you. Here, I want to show you how much I love you. Love? Get your weak, gooky, Nokia, cheap, peri-peri, nonsense love out of my face. That's not love. I know what love is. I'm loved by my Father. I experience His love. And unless your love, sir, is like His love, because your job description for me is to love me as Christ loves the church. And I've already been loved by Christ. I've been loved by my Father. And so you got to bring that kind of love here. And if that's all the love you got, take your cheap imitation stuff. Get lost. Go find a girl who's never been loved, who doesn't know what love is. Oh, there's benefits of being loved by God. Oh, there's a stability that comes into your life. No one can feed you nonsense peri-peri chicken. Amen. God's love, here's what the Bible says. It is massive. How high, how deep, how wide. Oh, the breadth of it. All right. So, and here's the thing. When you think about God's love, when you sing about God's love, when you consider God's love, and it doesn't make your heart skip a beat, if it doesn't give you chill bumps, if it doesn't make you want to stand up and scream and shout, guess what? You better be praying this prayer. Because what you know about His love is kind of like, oh, I'm no, Pastor, please, I understand. God's love is good. It's fine. It's yes. You're eating the wrong chicken. You haven't tasted enough yet. God wants you to know how wonderful His love is. So, in this prayer, in verse 18 and verse 19, many translations say, it says to know His love. And then in verse 19, there's another prayer to know His love. All right. Now, the New Living Translation does a good job because it goes back to the original Greek. And the first know in verse 18 is a knowledge that is an intellectual knowledge, a knowledge that can be grasped by your mind to mentally understand. All right. So that's God's will. He wants you to mentally understand His will, His love for you. Verse 19 is a knowledge that comes through experience. And here's the thing. not someone else's experience. This is the thing. Turn off the miracle TV and get your own miracles. People get their Coke and their popcorn. Hey, honey, come, look at that. Huh? Isn't that, interesting. Oh, they're writhing on the floor. Demons, interesting. Here, pass the popcorn. That's all it is. It's entertainment. And a lot of it is false. You realize the guy that walked on the air, that was a complete mockery of God? Mockery of God? He didn't walk on the air. Somebody held him up, and he pretended like he walked on the air, and then... Don't mock the things of God. They're holy. They're special. And if he wants you to walk on the air to do his will, praise God, he can do that. But don't mock the things of God and take advantage of foolish people. Don't do that. It's not right. Pastor, what are you talking about? Ah, don't worry about it. I'm glad you didn't see the video. All right. But God says, all right, there's a knowledge that I want you to know, that I want you to be aware of, because you need your mind. And as different things come, you need to now analyze and think and say, whoa, no, this is God's love. This is what his love is like. But then he says, I want you to experience the love of Christ. An awareness is good, but there is also, in addition to the awareness, is a knowledge that comes from experience. So God, his will for you, according to this prayer, is that he wants you to have regular, ongoing, incredible experiences of his love towards you. And when it happens, you know, yes, Jesus loves me. This is God. God delivered this into my life. Now, here's the thing. God, he has many pipelines, many avenues of his love into your life. Aren't you glad? And so there is the power of his Holy Spirit. There is his word. But there's the body of Christ. And arguably, perhaps his greatest delivery system of his love is his people. That we share the love of Jesus with one another. And we make those deliveries and we have experiences with one another that we realize, you know, when they showed up, Jesus showed up. God did this for me. Do you know that, and obviously there was a lot of human effort that went into this campus and everything, but every time I pull into this campus 5-6 times a week, every time I pull in, there's a sense of, my goodness, God, you love us. You love our church. You love our nation. You love the people of this nation. People said, there's no land in Lusaka. Well, we're walking on it. You want 20 acres? Are you crazy, 20 acres? You're going to have to build in Kafue, you know? But because all of this is a manifestation of his love. Of his love. He did this for us. When I see what God does in my kids' life, and yes, you know, we taught the parenting series, we believe in parenting, all that stuff. But you know, there's so much that God does in our kids' life where I just sit back and I go, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves them. God, you're so good. When we were able to have this break and we were able to be with our kids, and really the best thing of this break was being able to eat 3 meals a day with your own kids every day. Hallelujah. It was so awesome. But there was one day where my son and I, we were at the beach, and Haley and Jess were going doing girl stuff and everything, and that's fine, you know. But we were at the beach and we were riding these waves and we were getting pummeled into the sand and getting knocked and smacked in the face and everything, and I'm just for hours, and I'm just thinking, Jesus loves me. This is so awesome. And I remember I came back and I told my wife, it was so awesome. And she was like, okay, it's so awesome. You know, everything. So it was the most, But in that moment, I just realized Jesus loves me. This is happening because of his love. This is better than I deserve. If you know, there, so many people have rifts with their kids. And you know, if it was left up to me, my son wouldn't even, you know, want to have my surname. if I'd have fallen on the path of the devil. But Jesus loves me. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, if you have a virtuous woman in your life, it says she will do you good and not evil all the days of your life. And every single day I'm married to my wife is a delivery of God's love into my life. Now, she's awesome and I appreciate her and everything, but I realize, you know, there's a God thing in this. This is God being good to Walker through another human being. I don't deserve it, but I get it anyway. All right. So God wants you to have these experiences. All right. And it's not being selfish, but, you know, you remember Moses? He had this hunger. And so God was speaking from the mountain and those kinds of things. But he said, God, I want to see you. I want to see what you're like. And because of the fact that Moses was still a sinful man, he wasn't born again. You and I are born again. The Bible says we can behold the glory of God. And the disciples of Jesus did. But God basically told Moses, I can't show you everything. So God just showed him just a part of him. But it said God showed him his goodness. His goodness was revealed to Moses. So what he saw about God, I got a glimpse. I got a glimpse of his goodness. When you look at the Psalms and David's experience with God, and David was able to articulate, David was able to sing, and he was able to kind of transfer that knowledge to us, which is awesome. But have you ever noticed that David, he had this desire. He said, man, I would rather just be a person at the door of God's house. I just want to be near where God is. He said, my heart would have fainted if I would have not known that I could see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And God wants you to experience his love for so many reasons. Because it's who he is. But one of the reasons, friends, is also because the world that you and I live in 2016, we live in a very love-deprived world. There's so much hate, bitterness, anger, insecurity, backstabbing. And you and I, we're left here to be a city on a hill. We're not supposed to take our light and put it under a bushel, but we're supposed to expose that light. And one of the things that we're to expose to is our knowledge of the love of God, our awareness of who he is, that we can step into a situation where someone is hurting and someone is broken. And we can say, you know what? I know that Jesus loves you. I know that he'll take care of you. Why? He did it for me. I experienced his love. I overcame that sin with God's help. I had that wound healed in Jesus' name. I've experienced that. Now, as freely as I've received, now I'm going to freely give. As what has been poured into me, I'm going to pour out to you. What did Peter say to the man at the gate called Beautiful? Such as I have, I give you. And I know the name of Jesus. I know his healing power. And such as I have, I am able to deliver to you. And there are many, many Christians that live their life with such a limited knowledge of God's love. So few testimonies of his love. What do they have to give away? Very little. Very little. And so God wants you to have over and wave and wave and wave again of his love. I remember the one of the churches that our family grew up in. And, you know, my parents were divorced. My dad left. And so mom was now raising two kids on her own. All right. And we were in high school and, you know, there's a lot of school fees and all that kind of stuff. And so she began to discover in the Word of God that God will take care of your needs. That God will bless you and that God will help you. All right. And one of the elders came to the church and he said, you know, Emily, I'm really worried. You're believing in this prosperity cult stuff. You know, I'm warning you. And my mom said, I'm really sorry, but you've come too late. I'm already experiencing God's provision in my family's life. So thank you, but it's too late. It's already working. And God was able to take care of my brothers and I, and my mom gave copious amounts of money to ministries and evangelists and all this kind of stuff. All right? But see, God wants you to have your own testimony. And you know, I really get blessed and I get so encouraged in hearing your testimonies. All right? And obviously as your pastor, I should, and I want that to be working in your life and those things. But you need to have a testimony of your own marriage, not just watching romantic movies. Your own marriage is a mess. Oh, but I just it just warms my heart the way I see Jay-Z treating his Beyonce. Oh, that's love. No, it's the picture they wanted you to see. Okay, I don't know if I hope they love each other. That'd be awesome if they do. But we live in a world right now where we can kind of live off of other people's testimonies vicariously, you know? Oh, it's so great. Oh, so good. No, get your own life. Get your own life. Be inspired by others. All right. Learn from the principles of others. Amen. But it's kind of this hang out with my crew. As long as one of us is awesome, then no. Go get your own awesome marriage. Go get your own awesome business. See the hand of God on your kids' lives. And one of the first places to do is when we say, okay, God, you know what? I'm asking you, according to your word, this is not a pipe dream. This is not me acting crazy. God, you said it in your word. I'm asking you, God, I want to know your love. I want to experience your love. And then what's kind of the summary statement in verse 19? This byproduct, it says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. A stability, a knowledge, this experiential love working in your life, being filled with his fullness. All right, so grab your Bible. Everybody, it's good to bring your Bible to church. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. All right, and let's stand to our feet. We're gonna pray this prayer for ourselves. Again, take that prayer card home that was in your bulletin. All right. You can pray that, but let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And again, as Paul prayed this for others, then we just insert our name into that prayer. All right? So again, we'll do the same thing we did last week. We'll pray this prayer in general, according to the Word of God. But when we're done, just kind of look and listen for the nudge, the leading of the Holy Spirit, because there's certain things that I think he wants to just hone in on you, all right? And one of the things about this prayer is that when you can pray this prayer every day for the rest of your life, and it's still applicable. Why? Because the more you know, the more there is to know. All right, so let's put our hand on our heart, because right, this is about this inward stuff that's working in our life. All right, and just say this with me, and we'll start reading here, start praying from verse 16. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for your word. It gives me direction. It shows me who you are. And Father, thank you for this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. That gives me your will and your intentions for my life. And according to your word, I pray this morning that you would give to me according to the riches of your glory, that I would be strengthened with your might, with your power on the inside. Lord, I receive your ability, your strength that I don't have physically, but I have on the inside. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in your power. Father, I also pray in verse 17 And I thank you, Jesus, that you make your home in me. My roots go deep into your love. My belief system, my actions, my thinking are a result of your love. What's on the inside gets on the outside. And according to verse 18, I pray, God, that I would understand and comprehend with all the saints. Father, show me what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, and what is the height of your love. Father, thank you that I have a new awareness of the vastness of your love to me. What I know, it's growing. New knowledge in Jesus' name. Father, I also pray that I would experience your love that passes knowledge. Father, may I have a regular an awareness in my life, in my experiences, that you love me. Every day of my life, your mercies are new, and they are shown to me. And when they happen, I testify to you, Jesus loves me. And Father, I thank you that I'm filled with all of your fullness. There's nothing left over other than you, in Jesus' name. Father, I believe these things are happening in my life. New stability, new awareness of your love, new experiences of your love, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You just continue to pray right now. Just continue to pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. New experiences according to your word. Oh, we thank you, Father. Lord, where we've limited your love, Father, where we've determined that it only has a certain place or a certain size, or it can do this, but it can't do that, Father. Thank you, Father, that our mind is expanded and that our faith rises to new levels this year, Father, of what your love can do for us, of what your love can do through us, Father. New experiences, God, of demonstrating your love. New experiences of giving your love away. More than we ever thought, God. Yeah, more than we ever thought. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Just continue to pray. Just continue to pray. Seek the Lord. Look to him. But as you're praying, with every head bowed, every eye closed, this prayer is to experience, to be aware of God's love. The Bible says that the greatest demonstration of his love was when he sent his own son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, he gave his son for every person on planet Earth, that we would not perish, that we would not die, that we would not be defeated, but that through him we would live. He gave that love to you. And I'm telling you, I'm making you aware of that. Jesus came for you. If you were the only person on planet Earth, Jesus would have gone to that cross. Jesus would have allowed himself to be nailed and died just for you. You are that important to God. He demonstrated that love. Now, here's the thing. God did it before you were born. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he's invested in you. And you can be aware of that love. You can receive that love today. You see, even though that happened, you can live as though it didn't. And that's why the Bible says that we must receive Jesus. We must put our faith in him. We must say yes to him. And so while Jesus died for the whole world, his love is accepted one heart at a time. And if you're here today and you've never accepted him and his love, you can today. maybe in the past you've thought, well, I think I'm okay because I've gone to church and I've grown up in a Christian family. No, you have to make that decision for yourself. Maybe like me at one time in my life, I felt like I could never really be loved by God because I was too bad, too evil, done wrong things. And while those things may be very true, it does not keep God from loving you. His love is bigger than your sin. His love is bigger than the yuck of your life. And right now, He's reaching out and loving you and touching you. And He's asking, receive me. You've never done that in your life. Today is the day to receive Jesus Christ. Maybe you're far away from God. There was a young man in the Bible, the prodigal son. Jesus told a story that left his father's house and he made a mess of his life. But he remembered his father and he came home. And his father was more loving than he ever could have imagined. Today, friend, you can come home. If you're a wayward Christian, a Christian who's wasted some of your life and there's sin and rebellion and junk, friend, you can come home. You can come home today. You can experience His love. Now, how does that happen? It happens when you pray. When you say, God, I need you. I receive you into my life. And I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And so that we can pray this prayer together. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I need to come home to Him. I want to receive that love. Wherever you are right now, just simply lift up your hand, wave it at me. Just lift up your hand and wave it at me. And say, I'm receiving Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. There in the back, thank you. Who else? Just wave. I don't want to miss you. You're too important. Oh, thank you, sir, in the back. Thank you. Thank you, ushers. Appreciate you. Thank you all the way there. Wonderful, wonderful. Lifting up your hand, and really you're lifting up your heart to say, Jesus, I'm receiving your love. I'm receiving your life today. Awesome, awesome. All right, those of you that lifted up your hand, here's what I'd like you to do is just grab whatever you brought with you to church, maybe a bag or a Bible, and just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front right now. We're going to pray together. God's going to come into your life. Oh, He loves you. He cares for you. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. Awesome. Over here, over there. And what you're really doing is you're taking a step. Step out of that old life and you're stepping into the new life. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Boy, I tell you, I honor your decision today. Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you, sir. So glad that you've come today because He loves you so much. All right. Yeah. There's room for you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. All right. Now, if I wanted you to have this Bible, right, you would just reach out and receive it. And so what God has for you is His mercy and His love and His grace. Amen. You're going to receive a lot of grace, sister. A lot of grace today. Amen. Just come. So to receive that, it's a decision of our heart. And so let's just lift up our hand towards Him right now and just say, God, I'm looking to You. And let's pray this prayer together. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that You love me. You sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. You raised Him from the dead so that I could know You. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Master. I turn away from sin, from wrong things. I follow You now. Thank You, Jesus, that You love me. I'm in Your family. I belong to You. The devil has no claims on my life. I'm free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.